seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It's a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, 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 it's a sunny day.
It's just a sunny day.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning and welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chalais, Todd Bettis with you. We are taking your calls at 801-575-8255, or you can text us your questions at 57500. We are doing our part. We are social distancing. I'm in studio here at the broadcast house, and Todd is down in Utah County in his offices. And Todd, the only weirdness about it is there's a little bit of a pause or a hesitation so that... sometimes we talk over one another.
I'm back, Maria.
Okay, we're not rude. We're not talking over one another. It's just that you are down in Utah County in Orem right now.
Yes, we are. And you never know what's going to happen with the internet sometimes. So we're back.
Well, I didn't know you were gone. So I think that's another weird thing about social distancing. I couldn't tell that you weren't there. I'm just talking to myself. No problem. Apparently, I'm good at that. Todd, our next texter is asking us, is there a way to get columbine and wild violets out of their roses?
Oh, out of the roses. If they come up before the roses and the roses are still dormant, they could carefully use a Roundup spray. And what I would do is, you know, if they're coming up right in the roses, there's not much you can do. But if you can surround the roses with some cardboard around the base, you can spray those. And as long as you don't get any glyphosate or any of the Roundup on the rose itself, it will kill the whatever weeds are coming up around them without harming the roses.
Mm-hmm. I can tell people are getting very excited about doing some gardening. Just a ton of questions that we're receiving today. Before we just really dig into all of these, what are the things that we should be doing right now, the things that we're best doing at this time of the year?
Well, right now, people are really antsy about pre-emergent, and especially if they've hired a company that does their lawn for them, maintains the lawn, do the pre-emergent. If you are doing it on your own, and I think we had a previous texter ask, the first step in their particular company's lawn program or garden center's lawn program, can they do the pre-emergent right now? The answer is yes. It's still a bit early. What I like to see is that they do that when the forsythia we talked about earlier this morning is in bloom. That's when you would go ahead and put the pre-emergent down.
Another one of our texters had asked us the difference between the plug aeration and a liquid aeration, saying that their lawn care company wants to change this year, and they want to know what the differences are.
This was the one I mentioned to you earlier. So I just actually talked to JD earlier on a break to get a second opinion, and these liquid aeration products are most likely surfactants, which break up... they decrease the surface area of water and make it so that the water penetrates into the soil at a, you know, at a faster and rate. And so what it's chemically allowing water to penetrate farther into the soil, but what will happen is those surfactants break down, and then you may be back to the initial problem of compaction. And even though it may have taken care of it for 6 weeks or 2 months, you haven't really done anything to alleviate the compaction. And so I prefer hollow core aeration, just because you're physically taking plugs out of the soil. And as the rain and sprinklers get on those plugs and fill up those aeration holes, soil sloughs off from around the sides of those holes you made, and the plugs break down, and that will alleviate compaction at least 3 or 4 inches deep. And sometimes that's enough for the roots to get down and have a relatively healthy lawn.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of fertilizing can people do right now? I see that texters asking about the one-step fertilizer. Is it a good time for that?
You know, the
or the ones, I should say, IFA step one lawn care is exactly what they asked.
Yes, and so on those five-step programs or four-step programs, I really, if you have a lot of crabgrass or foxtail problems and those are coming up in your lawn, you need to get that pre-emergent down within the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. But if you don't have a lot of lawn weed problems, especially from crabgrass or from foxtail or other weedy grasses, I would wait to fertilize until late April or early May.
Okay. What about pruning right now? What should we be pruning?
Pruning, you can do any fruit trees right now. And then you can also do shrubs that are either hedges that you just more use as a barrier, or you can prune right now shrubs that are summer flowering. So like Rose of Sharon or Butterfly Bush or Blue Mist, any of those that bloom in July and August can also be pruned right now. If you have spring blooming flowers like Forsythia or Snowball Bush or other viburnums, then you will wait, or even the lilacs, but you would wait until they're done blooming. And as soon as those flowers start to fade, that's when you're going to do your pruning on those.
Right. A lot of questions about spraying trees and dormant oil. We need to get that information again to folks. When's a good time to do this, and how can they get the best information?
The best information comes from Utah State University. It's the university that tracks all the fruit-related problems and diseases and things. And what you would do is go to the website, utahpests.usu.edu, and then slash, and then the letters I, and then P as in Peter, and M as in Mary. Subscribe to the fruit updates. We don't sell your email to anybody, so you're not going to be all of a sudden be getting credit card emails that originated because of USU. The other thing you can do is download the what's called the Home Orchard Pest Management Guide. Mm-hmm. And so you would Google USU and Home Orchard Pest Management Guide, and it's just a static document that you open up, and how it works is it goes by bud or fruit stage instead of calendar dates. And so you can take the pictures from the book and go compare them to your tree. And if your tree is advanced enough and it's at the right bud stage, the book will say at this bud stage, spray dormant oil.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned flowering shrubs. Did you mention roses when you were talking about pruning?
Roses. Now you need to be a little careful. Most of the roses, so if they're floribundas, grandifloras, or hybrid tea roses, those all can be pruned now, and you take them down to about a third of their original size. But if you have bush roses, especially if they only bloom once a year, you have to prune them right after they're done blooming in late May. Or if you have ever-blooming bush roses, then you can just give them a general haircut.
Yeah, and a lot of concern about grapevines.
Grapes can be pruned now. I don't really like getting into how to do all the specifics on the grape pruning. There's
tough.
Some really good YouTube videos. But it's time to do it now. And I do want people to be aware, if your grape is 5 or 6 years old and you've never pruned it, if you go in and prune it like it should be done, you probably won't get fruit for 2 or 3 years because you shock it. And it takes a few years to calm down and start producing fruit buds again. And so it's one of those things that if it's never been pruned, you want to transition it in, and you may take a third out 1 year and then half the next year and then 2/3, so you don't shock it into not producing anything for, you know, 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. There are some specific questions about pruning, like hydrangea or pruned swamp oak. I don't know about what is swamp oak. Hmm.
Swamp white oak. It's a species of white oak that is occasionally planted here. It generally does fine. The oaks, I generally like to prune those in mid-January when they're completely dormant. If you need to do some minor pruning, you could go ahead and do that now. Hydrangeas really depend on the species because some of them bloom on one-year-old wood. And if you prune them back now, you've lost all your flower buds. But if you have hydrangeas that are ever bloomers or they bloom later in the season, they can be pruned now, but you really need to know what species it is.
All right. The number to call if you have a question, 801-575-8255. You can text us your questions at 57500. I can tell we're all anxious to get out in the yard and start gardening. It'll be a little bit chilly today, but grab a sweater.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for spending your morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Let's take our next caller. Jane is calling. Good morning, Jane.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I have a pear tree, and I noticed last August that there were some clumps of brown dry leaves, and I looked it up, and it's a fungus, but I can't remember what kind of fungus it is, and I don't know if it's okay to go ahead and spray it now, or do I need to wait later in the season?
Well, did you look up a disease called fire blight?
Say that again?
Did you look up a disease called fire blight?
Yeah, I think that was it.
Okay, because that's actually bacterial, but it does cause dead leaves. What will happen is you will see about 3 or 4 weeks after the trees are done blooming, all of a sudden at the branch tips, you'll get brown clusters of leaves near an old flower cluster, and the flower cluster is black, and the leaves oftentimes turn black. So I would prune those out. You would want to make sure that where you see the brown, you need to check the bark and make sure that the wounds or there's no bleeding coming from them or ooze, because if it is, that's fire blight ooze, and if you cut into that, you'll just spread it. So as long as you don't have any ooze, you'll want to cut about 6 inches beyond where you see damage, and you'll want to get some Lysol, which I know it's hard to find right now, or rubbing alcohol, and sterilize your pruners after every cut.
Okay. And then do I spray it? Is there anything I can spray on it?
If it is fire blight in there, the time to spray is actually when the tree is in blossom, which I know we're always saying, don't spray when it's in blossom, but this is the one time that you would, and you would go to a local garden center or farm store and tell them you need a fire blight spray.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So when those blossoms open, what those fire blight sprays will do is hopefully prevent the bacteria from spreading and reproducing into the tree itself.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. You know, Ton, I have to go back to a couple of our texters who wanted to give us some suggestions about deer and deer repellent. And I love some of these. I don't know if they work, but one person saying their mom puts crushed up eggshells all around their strawberries and the deer don't touch them. What do you think about that one?
Well, if the eggs are not washed, it's been shown that mixed up egg yolks can be an effective repellent.
Mm-hmm.
So that one, I don't know if there's any research back there, but I can see that it's within the realm of where research done at Colorado State has gone.
Hmm. So this next texter saying, you know, you can use cayenne pepper and it helps, but you have to do it often. And that is really true. I've tried that. I've tried like the pepper powders but boy, you have to do those all the time, especially in the spring. I mean, it just washes right away.
You almost need to be out there daily, especially if we're windy or we are rainy or your sprinklers get it. So that's, again, I could see that working because that Colorado State University research found that hot sauce at that concentration of at least 6% was also effective at repelling deer.
Okay, here's my favorite of the morning. Dial soap in a stinky used sock keeps deer out of an orchard.
I mean, that sounds more like something you would see on one of the old gangster movies. They're going to go beat somebody and put some soap in the sock.
I got to tell you, though, but if I'm desperate enough to keep the deer from eating all of my things, I might try it.
You know, you could try it. Sometimes if they're unfamiliar with something, even a scent, they will not go in there until they adjust to it. And so if it does work, it would need to be something that they rotated. Because even like some of the repellents are urine based from coyotes or cougars or bobcats. I don't know who collects that stuff, mm-hmm. but I mean, it's one of those micro worst jobs. Let's go get coyote urine. But those will work temporarily, but you need to keep rotating what you're doing so that the deer don't get used to it or adjust to that tactic and then start feeding again.
I will tell you, birds have been a bigger problem for me on my front porch and my pots. They're continually digging in my pots for worms or whatever they're doing. And I know one year I tried spraying like perfume on the pots and all sorts of stuff. Any suggestions for that?
What I would do is get some netting and cover the pot with it and then secure it around the lip of the pot with either some masking tape or a tape that doesn't stick, or even if you can, some twine, almost like a drum, until you get your stuff up and going. And once you get it an inch or two up, then you can go ahead and take that netting off.
I know, but they keep digging all the dirt out. They're making this huge mess on my porch.
Yeah, and that's why I'm hoping that if you secured the netting to the top of the pot, that they couldn't get through it.
But that's even after there are plants in the pots. It's just an obnoxious feature.
It is. I mean, a cat. And we're being nice to cats.
You know what? We have a mouse problem around one of our properties, and the cat solved that problem, took care of the mice.
That is good. Cats are, especially if you get a good mouser, I love cats for that use.
Mm-hmm. I noticed, too, the best deer repellent, a 7-foot fence, which you did mention. A tall fence does
fact,
work.
Yeah, research, if you can see through it, 8 feet, and then if they can't see through it, 6 feet seems to do it. But yeah, if you've got areas of your yard like an orchard or a garden and heavy deer pressure, that is going to be the only way to keep them out, because during the summer, they can be a little bit more selective on what they eat, but the more hungry they become, the more likely they are to get into your critical areas and use that for their vegetarian buffet.
Definitely do. And the number to call if you have a question, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be back following the news.